Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Beat, a podcast which brings together the journalists and reporters who cover Arsenal on a regular basis.
As with all your favourite shows, we thought we'd bring you a Christmas special. This one-off edition of the Arsenal Beat will take an in-depth look at the current situation regarding William Saliba.
I'm Sam Dean of The Telegraph, and alongside Mark Manbryans from PA Media, we're going to bring you plenty of discussion, explanation and a bit of insider analysis on the 19-year-old defender who was supposed to be Arsenal's future but instead has not yet played a game for the club.
We'll hear from a number of Arsenal reporters, including Sam and I, as well as technical director Edu and French football expert Jeremy Docteur, as we delve into the reasons behind his slow start to life in North London.
It only seems right to go back to the start of the story, and as Mark said, we spoke to Jeremy from France Football to hear about Saliba's emergence in France at Saint-Etienne before Arsenal decided he was the man for them.
Even though he hasn't played so many games, he's always been considered as a huge talent, really a big prospect. He made his debut in, he was only 17, I think that was in September 2018, and he actually only signed his first professional contract a few months earlier. And Jean-Louis Gasset, who was the manager of Saint-Etienne at the time, really liked him and really introduced him in the team. And he didn't start every game for his first season with the first team, but he was really impressive whenever he was asked to play. So he basically stayed with the under-19s until the new year. But he really made a great impression every time he was given an opportunity to play. And actually, in 2018-2019, Saint-Etienne had a great season, finished fourth. And he really was a key player. And I think that really convinced Arsenal at the time. And actually, Saint-Etienne extended his contract to really, I think, secure him and make sure that if he was to be sold, they'd get a good fee. And I think what Arsenal liked is that he, despite his young age, plays with great composure. He's always very calm. He doesn't panic under pressure. He can play short passes, more direct passes, and really good at building from the back, like teams like and ideas like Arteta has. So I think that really was a good point. In terms of passing, he's really efficient. He can do those super passes in between the lines too, and I think a bit like Gabriel, that really was something they liked, and when they scouted him, I think there was quite a bit of scouting. He's also quite good at tackling and staying on his feet because he's always in a really good position, so he manages to read the game really well, and so he can kind of get the ball back without committing a foul or being dribbled past. And I remember there was a bit of talking about his tackles and all that a few months ago, and I didn't really understand that because he doesn't tend to throw himself to the ground a lot. He stays put on his feet. He's more like proactive than the player who just stands in his position. But of course, I think his style of play also goes with a bit of a risk, and that means he can have some moments like Gabriel, like when he picked that second yellow card against Southampton. But I mean, he's still young and he'll probably keep learning on that. So from what he showed in League One, he was really a mature player. He didn't look like a kid. He always seemed really, really confident. And I think for all those reasons, he was a really great signing for Arsenal, a really exciting one, and unfortunately that hasn't really worked yet, but I'm pretty sure that if he gets a run of games, he will show or live up to the expectations.
As Jeremy said there, he clearly developed well early on and impressed in a successful side, so the signs were clearly good earlier on, but it just didn't seem to work for him, did it? So it just makes it more and more strange the more people that we hear from throughout this whole programme why it hasn't worked for him, really.
Yeah, and what Jeremy said there is sort of highlights and reminds us all that this was not some sort of hidden gem that Arsenal had unearthed, a bit like Gabriel Martinelli and a lower league in Brazil. The big clubs in Europe were aware of him. It's this guy was not hiding. He was very obviously a huge talent. I was told, for example, that Man United made a genuine and serious approach in the January before Saliba joined Arsenal. And then in that same summer, as we all know at the time, Tottenham Hotspur tried to hijack the deal. So the big clubs across England and Europe were looking at Saliba. It wasn't like there were eyebrows raised at Arsenal going for him. He was almost a no-brainer at that point.
It's clear as well that Saint-Étienne knew that he was going to get money and going to get interest because they put him on that contract. Almost one of those deals where they ask him to sign a new contract, knowing full well he's not going to see it out, but protecting themselves against losing him for less money. So it's clear that they knew that he was dragging in all that attention from across Europe as well, isn't it? I think it's also worth noting that as well as getting pelters on Twitter at home for not playing him, Arteta's also getting criticised in France for a perceived poor treatment of the player. And I think Jeremy mentioned it to you and I privately that it's leaving people there a bit bewildered because he was being heralded as this great new talent and then all of a sudden he's completely gone missing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure if one of our great English talents, someone like Jude Bellingham, for example, went to Borussia Dortmund this summer and didn't play at all, wasn't even in the squad, I think we'd all be saying, what's going on there? And you can see why the French media and the French public are baffled, because the player they saw was a player who, in their eyes, was ready to play at least a bit part for Arsenal this first 6 months, if not a more significant part than that.
Yeah, exactly. There seems that there was plenty to catch the eye of Arsenal scouts, that's for sure. And now our very own Sam Dean explains how his move to the Emirates Stadium came to pass to begin with.
So in the summer, I spoke to a lot of people who know Saliba, who knew Saliba coming through and have been involved in his journey, some of them on the record and some of those off the record. And what really stood out from everybody I spoke to was fundamentally the size of the bloke, in that when he was 12 years old, opposition coaches assumed he should be playing for the under-17s. I mean, that's how sort of physically big he was. I mean, this guy is a powerful athlete. And when he broke through in Ligue 1, I'm sure that was one of the main reasons that Arsenal took notice, because this guy is somebody who is physically dominant. And that, as we all know, is something that Arsenal have been lacking for quite some time at the back. When you speak to people who saw him develop and saw him grow, it was very clear that he was always sort of a prodigious talent who was, anyone who saw him thought he'd go to the top. And that sounds almost a bit cliche, but it's really not always the case from some people. And they also spoke about his attitude, quite a quiet guy, not particularly extroverted, but sort of professional and dedicated, which again makes it slightly surprising how he's really not ticked the boxes that Arteta clearly wants him to tick. In terms of the signing himself, itself in the summer of 2019, it was, I think, as we all know, the ones of us who reported on it, it was quite a drawn out, slow process, but that's how Arsenal work these days. And certainly that was to do with various clauses and additional fees, and all this stuff is far more complicated than a big transfer fee we normally see as the final headline. But the deal was essentially driven or done by Hus Farmi, who was the director of football operations at Arsenal, but has since left the club. So Hus did all the legwork in terms of, contacting Saint-Étienne, getting the contracts over the line, sorting all out all the transfer fees. But obviously it wasn't Hus Farmi's job to identify the player himself. Now, obviously he came in the summer of 2019 and instantly was loaned back. And that, I think at the time, that was seen as quite a sensible move. Obviously, as we've discussed, it didn't quite work out as planned due to coronavirus and various injuries. But as of this summer, Saliba was at the club and training with Arsenal before the FA Cup final. He was getting used to it. He was there for a few weeks, obviously not able to play because he wasn't registered at the time, but he was assimilating, and he instantly clicked with Aubameyang and Lacazette, as you can imagine, sort of the French-speaking group within the dressing room. But also, which slightly surprised me, I was told that he had a really good relationship from early on with some of the young British lads as well, which are, Bukayo Saka, Rhys Nelson, Joe Willock, Eddie Nketiah. Obviously, he's at their sort of age, but there's obviously a big cultural difference and language difference. But Saliba's been learning English ever since he signed for Arsenal, so well over a year now, and he did a video the other day on Arsenal's YouTube channel, sort of one of their quiz games, and he spoke a fair amount in English there. So clearly his English is coming along quite nicely. But over that summer, he was moving into London. He was settling in. People were getting on with him well. He was making friends. Everything looked quite positive. And when I spoke to people he'd spoken to and people who knew him, they all said to me, he's ready to play and he's desperate to play. He thinks he can be ready from the first game onwards. So it was certainly the plan at that point that he was not feeling patient and he was not feeling that he's going to need loads of time to adapt to Arsenal. Clearly the coaching staff think the opposite, and that for me makes it even more extraordinary what's happened since, that we've literally never seen him in an Arsenal shirt in a competitive game. And I mean, I find this stat amazing. In the whole of the league campaign last season for Saint-Étienne, he conceded 2 fouls. And by contrast, David Luiz conceded 30 fouls in the Premier League and 5 penalties. Right, it's a huge difference. And it's not like they signed this kid who wasn't delivering or wasn't performing or won entirely for the future. In the present, in a very competitive league in France, he was doing really well. So it just begs all those questions about what's really gone on there. And evidently he's not trained or assimilated the way that Arteta hoped, but you'd have to think that it can't be too long before he starts to show some of this ability that he showed so obviously in France. I mean, it was absolutely without doubt that this guy was going to make it at the very top ever since he was about 12 years old. So for him to go so completely off the radar is genuinely extraordinary.
So while Arsenal clearly pulled off a coup getting the Saliba deal over the line, part of that agreement, and always it seemed that the process would be that he would return to Saint-Étienne for another year on loan to continue that development, the transitional year, as Mikel Arteta had called it more than once. And here we return to Jeremy, who picks up the story and explains why that return to France wasn't all it cracked up to be for Saliba.
I thought that was a really good idea to actually loan him back to Saint-Étienne to, give him a bit more experience, game time. Obviously, it didn't really go well, but I'm not sure it's down to his football. It's more about the injuries he suffered. He had a groin injury at the start of two seasons ago, and then another big injury, a bone foot injury, metatarsal injury. So he struggled with that. And obviously then the COVID and the League One was interrupted and never started again, unlike the Premier League, for instance. And I think it was a tough season for him for all those reasons. Also, his mentor, Gasset, left the club at the end of the first season in the first team. And then the next manager was fired and was a bit of a tough period. Then Claude Puel came in. But he actually did really a good impression when he played. And interestingly, he played in both systems Arteta tried and for his teams with Arsenal. I mean, 3-4-3 or sort of a 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1. In each case, as he played on the right-hand side of the defence. And he was quite convincing there. And I think he would have played all the 10 remaining games had the League One not been interrupted, of course. And he actually played all the games from the moment he returned from injury, so in February, to the interruption in March. And I think he really improved, especially with the ball. He looked more confident and he really benefited from from playing alongside Loïc Perrin, who's a really experienced player. And I think he learned a lot from that. And of course, then another youngster came in, Wesley Fofana, who signed for Leicester. He was part of the team that went to the final of the French Cup. So it was a bit of ups and downs. But he the injuries didn't do good. But he was impressive when he played. And I think he was even more confident than the first season. So I was really, really excited to see him this season. And nobody thought, I think, he'd become Virgil van Dijk in like 2 weeks, but there's huge potential. And I think the idea, from France, that he may be some sort of squad player and get, 20, 25 games under his belt, learn, adapt to the Premier League. And that hasn't really happened so far. So everyone in France is a bit, you know, nobody really understands what's going on, especially when you see in what sort of state Arsenal are in at the moment.
I think it's clear there you couldn't really have anticipated such a year for Saliba. The loan was supposed to help him clearly develop, and he didn't do that at all. If anything, he probably went backwards. But one of the things Jeremy noted that I think a lot of people wouldn't be aware of was the change of coach, which also, in all probability, was an issue. He came through under a different manager and then was playing under Puel. So it was such a bad year for him. But it's all about luck, isn't it? It was, none of it seems to be about him getting worse as a footballer. It was just he seemed to be in the wrong place at the wrong time more than once last year.
Yeah, and we've also not mentioned yet the various issues in his personal life that he's had to deal with too, which haven't made things any easier. But yeah, so if we skip forward from where Jeremy left us, that brings us to this pre-season and the start of the year when he played against MK Dons in a friendly. And I thought looked quite good that day, but it soon became quite clear that he wasn't going to play as big a part as people expected. And a loan move was obviously part of the discussion. So next we're going to hear from you, Mark, and also from our friend James Ollie of ESPN, talking about the attempts to find a move for Saliba this summer and sort of what's happened since and why he's been missing out on the first team.
The situation regarding William Saliba and a move away in the most recent transfer window back in the summer, it was an interesting one really, because he'd obviously already been to Saint-Étienne last year. That ended with a cup final debacle where they wanted him to play. Arsenal weren't too keen. There were claims that the club wanted to handle his recovery from injury differently, so he comes back to Arsenal, misses the cup final, and then really doesn't get started at Arsenal. It was very surprising that he wasn't included in the Community Shield squad, for example, having played against MK Dons and looking sharp. It became abundantly clear early on that Arsenal didn't fancy him in his current condition, current, you know, development, and we're looking to loan him out again. Now, Saint-Étienne would have been the obvious choice. Mikel Arteta spoken about him needing a transitional year that he didn't have in that year in France because of injury, because of COVID, ruining the league, and what have you. But the issue was they then had this issue of the cup final that they didn't agree on. And then they were at odds again when the loan deal broke down. So he was planning to go back. The club had pretty much agreed that he'd go back for another spell at Saint-Étienne, a club that he knows well, where he's come through the ranks, where he'd feel at home. But Saint-Étienne claimed that the loan could not happen because paperwork hadn't been returned in time. You know, that's one of those things, will they, won't they? Arsenal said it was the French club's fault because they didn't register the details. It's very much it became a mud-chucking contest for whose fault it was that Saliba was still rooted at Arsenal where he wasn't wanted. You know, I'm not saying that situation won't change. He may yet develop into a great defender, but in the summer, they wanted to get him out, get him experience, and for him to be comfortable. That would have ideally been in Saint-Étienne in Ligue 1, as we said. Then it became abundantly clear that they needed to just get him playing football. And I sent a tweet, I managed to get some information that they were starting to look at a championship club because the transfer window had closed for top clubs, or top league clubs, but the Premier League clubs could still do deals with EFL clubs. So naturally the idea would be Saliba goes to the championship, plays, 40-odd games, maybe even just until January, he could have played 20-odd games, they could reassess it in January. But again, it fell through, and there's reasons behind it. I think there's a very specific and finite number of clubs that they would have been willing to do business with. They wanted the right manager, the right location, the right structure, the right tactics. Right manager obviously is crucial because you want to be learning from the top man. You also want the right tactics because you want him developing in the way that you then see him slotting into your team. He's not going to go to a championship club who play hoofing football. You know, that's not being derogatory to those teams. They get the job done, but that's just not what Arsenal were looking for. Location was key as well because of his age, because of what happened at home with his the bereavement in the family, because they wanted to keep a close eye on him, basically. They wanted him at a club nearby. Again, your catchment area is quite small when you're looking at a club nearby that plays good football, that has a manager they can trust. And I think it was whittled down almost, I think, to Watford, Norwich, and I think Bournemouth would have been an outside bet. But the issue was, it just didn't come to fruition. You know, again, was it timing? Was it that those clubs weren't interested? Was it that Arsenal were seeking too much of a perfect fit that didn't really exist? It is hard to fathom out why, when they were clearly aware that he wasn't going to be involved in the first team picture, that they ended up keeping him at the club, and a massive detriment to his progress, especially short term.
I think he's not playing for Arsenal because the majority of people at the club don't think he's good enough yet. I was thinking about this the other day, that there aren't many clubs that would spend £27 million on a player and then loan him for a year, full stop, let alone one that has to watch the money as closely as Arsenal does. He's in the top 10, I think, for, you know, all-time most expensive signings for Arsenal. And you know, with money being so tight, you need that cash to make an immediate impact. And there was obviously a recognition straight away that, yes, they were trying to get a young talent early before maybe the bigger clubs with greater resources got in ahead of them and they were trying to steal a march. But there was also an acceptance that as a teenager, very young centre-back with not a lot of experience, he was going to need more time to develop. And the people that I speak to around the club, and I know that this is a view held among some of the players as well, is that he's just not ready to play Premier League football on a consistent basis. There are issues around how he dives into tackles. I've been told positionally they're not sure about how he knows where to be in certain situations in games. Game management is an issue for Arsenal at the back, particularly, and has been for a number of years. So bringing in a kid who's kind of learning his trade in that particular area to a team that's already quite unstable is a recipe for disaster, really. So that's the reason why they wanted to send him out on loan again. This is not to say that he can't be a success or that he won't be a success at Arsenal, because he may well be. He's certainly highly rated in terms of the potential that he has, and he seems to have a lot of the raw component parts to be a very good defender that's suited to English football. But that, you know, he reminds me a little bit of David De Gea in a way, insofar as obviously De Gea was a goalkeeper, but he came here, he was very, very raw, physically not ready, certainly, you know, not naturally suited to the Premier League, had to adapt himself physically and mentally to get there. Whether he has the same trajectory and goes on to become one of the top goalkeepers and one of the top defenders in Saliba's case, like De Gea did, who knows? That's the great imponderable. But I can understand why they want to loan him out. And I can see the logic, although I was told he was quite keen to go back to France. And obviously they were very close to sending him back to Saint-Etienne. But I can see the logic of sending him to a championship club, actually, because I think there he'll, you know, he needs to get ingrained in the English style, the sort of pace of our football playing. You know, I mean, I know in this condensed season, everybody's playing every 3 days, but even when hopefully we get back to normal, it's still, you know, it's more physically demanding than most other leagues. You've seen a lot of the foreign players. Timo Werner, example, at Chelsea, was saying that just this week, that, you know, he's felt the same, even coming from Germany, that it's a step up physically. So I can see the logic in doing that. The problem, of course, is that Arsenal don't have many centre-backs playing well at the moment, despite having about 25 on the books. And you can see a significant turnover next summer. David Luiz's contract runs out. You expect Mustafi, when his deal runs out, to go as well. The nearly sold Rob Holding, you're not entirely sure whether Callum Chambers would stay either. And suddenly you're looking at quite a high turnover there at centre-back. And I could see why from the outside people would think, well, Gabriel and Saliba, let's, you know, bed them in now, get them going as a centre-back partnership if he's going to play that 4-3-3 he keeps talking about, and really get them to understand each other's games and develop a partnership over time. But it just feels as though that's quite a long way off at the moment. And I think, you know, Saliba's really got to go away and get some proper competitive game time under his belt and start overcoming those shortfalls that many of the coaching staff have seen in his game at the moment.
I think James makes a really important point there about this being a pretty bad time and a pretty bad atmosphere to throw somebody of his inexperience straight into the team. And it also speaks to the wider sort of clamour for basically Arteta to pick all the kids and to play Smith Rowe and to play Balogun and to play Eddie Nketiah. And yes, I understand the logic there because these are the ones who are visibly trying their absolute hardest when some of the senior players don't seem to be doing so. But at the same time, when the pressure's on so much and there's such a horrible sort of feeling around the club and the spiral that they're in, it feels like a difficult time to throw someone in. And you want to bed them in gradually and to have senior players to learn from. And as James said, this is so unstable right now that I can't see it helping his development.
Yeah, I think the price tag is clearly an issue as well, isn't it? As it is with Nicola Pepe. And Arsenal's former president just means anyone not in that first team picture will be seen as a potential saviour, rightly or wrongly. And in the case of most of the people you mentioned there, wrongly, not because of their lack of ability, but because of that lack of experience. It's the last thing these players need is to be brought into a team that's struggling week in, week out, that's under pressure week in, week out, that's losing week in, week out. You know, it's just the wrong environment for those players. And Saliba, obviously, is amongst those players. It does leave him in a lot of limbo, which is not good for him. Especially, I think, when you see Wesley Fofana joins Leicester from Saint-Étienne and has gone straight into the team at Leicester. He's excelling at Leicester, similar age, you know, similar background. It just raises even more questions, probably unfairly, about Saliba.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Fofana thing is, the Fofana thing has put even more of a spotlight on Saliba. And you look at it and think, I don't think, and I'm sure some of our Midlands correspondents and our colleagues might disagree with this, but it seems to me from afar that the plan was never to put Fofana in straight away, but they had a few injuries at the back. And so they went, okay, well, we bought this guy for 30 million, let's chuck him in. And he's adapted brilliantly. And part of you thinks, well, maybe that's what Saliba would do if he was given a chance, and that would be the moment that it clicks. But as James said, the training issue is clearly a significant one, and we can't ignore the fact that Arteta and his coaching staff and the other players, of course, are seeing him week in, week out. And if they're not deeming him to be ready, then clearly it's very far removed from the Fofana situation.
Yeah, exactly. And you mentioned earlier he played in that friendly against MK Dons, which was behind closed doors, but streamed online, and just seemed to increase people's calls for him to play. You think it's MK Dons in a pre-season friendly, isn't it? However, he has at least played some football in England, and one of the very few reporters that have seen him play live in the flesh is Art de Roche of The Athletic. So we're going to hear from him next. He explains what he thought of seeing him, his tactical awareness, his nous and everything. And then also Jeremy talks about that Fofana issue we just mentioned and the comparison between the two before they both made the journey across to England.
Yes, I've seen William Saliba play once. That was away in the Papa John's Trophy to Gillingham. That was in the flesh, actually, the first time I saw him play. And I think there he was playing on the left side of the defence with Callum Chambers to the right of him. Of course, Callum Chambers being the more senior centre-back, he's going to have a much clearer path back to the first team. But from Saliba, I think that night, what I kind of got from his performance was that he is very confident, that he is willing to try stuff on the ball. One thing that was very clear throughout the game was that, for me anyway, it looked like he expected a bit more pressure in those games. I watched the game he played against Wimbledon on the computer because I couldn't get to the game. But in that game as well, it seemed that he was expecting a bit more pressure to be on him. So there were times where he would kind of bring the ball forward and do that almost expecting to be met by a challenge, but wasn't. So he'd just roam forward and pass the ball through the lines, which was something that excited Arsenal fans that were watching those games online. Although there were times where I think when you're maybe expecting pressure that isn't there, you get a little bit, I wouldn't say overconfident, but maybe a little bit relaxed. And that showed against Wimbledon, where he's tried to step out into midfield again, slips, and then gets a second yellow card and is sent off against Wimbledon for a challenge which was very reactionary. And I don't think that's something that would have impressed Mikel Arteta too much. But for me, having watched the game and how he's played, it wasn't something that was too serious. I think that with him, it is about getting that senior experience in senior football, because last season, even when he was playing at Saint Etienne in the first team, there were times I remember watching their French Cup final semi-final, where he was the one that was stepping forward into midfield. And I think if the listeners can go back and watch the highlights, he's the man kind of making that first pass into the final third from defence for both goals. And that's where you see his character. But also, there were times at Saint Etienne where he was making mistakes that are understandable for a young centre-back. So I think getting him that first team experience is going to be vital for the second half of this season, having missed that opportunity in the first half of this season.
Well, you know, it's funny because many fans and journalists who follow Saint-Étienne or League One on a daily basis, generally feel that Saliba is a better player than Fofana, which is, given what's happening at the moment, quite weird. And Fofana actually didn't play lots of games last season. He played a bit more than Saliba, but he wasn't a starter all season. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know exactly why, but maybe Fofana adapted better to the league. He gradually got into the team at Saint-Étienne too. It's a bit the same as Saliba, but I think people acknowledge that it's not easy to adapt to a new country, learn a new language, discover, a new culture. And I think Saliba encountered a really tragedy in terms of losing his close relatives. That was probably tough. And I think that the fact that Arsenal have been in a mess, and that they have so many centre-backs, I mean, that's not as ideal as Fofana's situation with Leicester. But I'm not sure why Saliba has gone from a really good and promising player in League One to Arsenal's reserves team, basically. And I think that the fact that he wasn't included in the Europa League was the tipping point, because people thought he was up for the challenge. And maybe, I don't know, it's hard to say now, because Leicester are obviously a much better team than Arsenal. So maybe it was easier for him to get into the team. But I don't know. Obviously, I don't know about everything that's going on behind the scenes. It's hard to understand why. But Fofana really showed that he had an instant impact and adapted quickly to the league. And people think that Saliba is better and still believe that now. So, yeah, it's really confusing, to be honest.
Of course, apart from Mikel Arteta, there's no one better to hear from about Saliba's situation than Edu, who's obviously Arsenal's technical director. We, as journalists, had a chance to speak to Edu after the Burnley defeat a few weeks ago about all sorts of things, and it was by no means just about Saliba, but we did have a chance to put a question to him about Saliba. And we did cover this in more depth, the Edu interview in our fourth show, which I believe was on the 17th of December. So if you want to know more about that and the process behind that and hear a bit more about Edu himself, that's all available there. But for now, this is what Arsenal technical director had to say about their young French centre-back.
Yes, Saliba, he arrived here after a very challenged year, okay? Because he was injury a lot. He get a lot of injury. He didn't play a lot of game as people really know. He has some personal issue as well with his family. And then he changed. But when he changed to here, what people expected to be, you know, top, let's go, boom, you're going to play. But he's still 19 years old, you know, and he needs a little bit of time. And when you see, you start to see his position on the field, we have a 3-4 players, which probably is in front of him to play more games. And we need to prepare him to play, okay? And that's Mirko decided to, of course, he's training. He started to play with under 23. He started to perform well. And now we're facing the situation, which we're going to see if he's going to stay the way he is right now, or we're going to loan him to get some proper games as well, and then probably come back to ourselves. But, you know, let's see. Let's see. But of course, he's a good future. He has a good future.
Edu there obviously suggesting that a loan is the most likely outcome during the January window for William Saliba. Mikel Arteta speaking after the Carabao Cup defeat to Manchester City also said that talks are afoot for trying to send him out on another temporary deal. The contributors today, James, Sam, Jeremy, Art and myself, have all offered our own opinion on what we think is best in January. And we're all surprisingly on the same page as Edu, as you can hear right now.
I think the best move for him would be to go on loan to a Championship club. I could see the logic in him going back to France. He'd probably be more comfortable there, but he really needs to step up and kick on now. He needs to learn the language. He needs to get ingratiated in the English style of football and really get some competitive game time under his belt. And I think if he was to drop down a level, you'd assume that he would find a club that he could play every week and really hone his craft, because that's what he needs to do to come back to Arsenal in the 21-22 season and hold down a first team place.
I think the likelihood is that he probably ends up back in France again. That's where he's comfortable, that's where he knows the league, and Arteta's spoken about him needing a transitional year, so essentially to get himself ready again. Although I suppose the other argument is that if he wants to transition from French football to English football, a move in the Premier League would be ideal, but that's quite hard to see where he goes given where Arsenal are in the league and who their rivals now, funnily enough, who their rivals are, which is essentially teams in the lower half of the table. So it's hard really to see an obvious destination for him in the Premier League, although with various injuries and suspensions coming up over Christmas period, you never know how that can change. I personally wouldn't send him to the Championship.
Alone, definitely. I think I'd like to see him play with Arsenal, but I don't think that will happen. So I think alone would be the best for both the club and for him. I think he's young, he needs to play, he's got great potential, but he needs to play. I think I'm pretty sure a lot of League One clubs would be interested, and Saint-Etienne were a few months ago and probably still are. He has a really big reputation, as I said, and we have quite a few very promising centre-backs in France, well, French centre-backs, and he's still up there in that list. He's one of the biggest talents we have, so he needs to play. And I think, actually, I kind of think it'd be good for him to stay in England, and I think that's what he said, or what the club kind of thinks. Hopefully in the Premier League, that'd be great.
I'm sure it won't come as a surprise, and I'm sure most people here that were asking for the opinion will give the same opinion, and that is that he should go out on loan. I don't think you can expect him to stay for the remainder of the season. We've seen those those competitions, lesser competitions where he's had a chance to play, he wasn't even in the Europa League squad, he wasn't blooded in the Carabao Cup. Maybe you get an FA Cup tie if they land, you know, a non-league team in round four or five or what have you. Chances are he's not going to play Premier League football yet. Get him out there, get him learning. Even if loans don't go well, it doesn't seem to have a long-term impact on players. Look at Harry Kane. He had all of those failed loan spells, really, before he hit the ground running. I just think he will want to play competitive first-team football. It can only be a good thing for Arsenal. And then you get him back next summer, evaluate the situation. Do you loan him again? Does he go into the squad? I don't know. But for me, for now, he has to be out on loan.
I think come the end of January for William Saliba, a loan would probably be best for him because of the amount of centre-backs currently at the club. You look at Callum Chambers and Pablo Mari, who are both coming back from injury in recent weeks anyway, and are both being spoken about by Mikel Arteta in public. I think that's a clear sign that they're going to be pushed back into the first team picture a lot sooner than William Saliba would be, just because they're maybe a bit more experienced and have that control Mikel Arteta may be looking for if he wants to move to a back three or back four. They can maybe offer him a bit more in that case. And when you're looking at how Arsenal are playing of late, I think the environment probably isn't the best for a young centre-back to make their mark. Although he could well do that, it may be a bit more comfortable for him to go out on loan to maybe a Premier League side that has a need for a centre-back, or a higher tier championship side where he can get confidence and not have the depressing results around him.
So that completes the first of our special Arsenal Beat podcasts. We hope we've given you a complete and comprehensive opinion on why we believe William Saliba is not involved in the Arsenal team at the moment, heading into the January transfer window, so that could all change. Please do keep across all of our regular Arsenal Beat shows and follow us on Twitter at the Arsenal Beat, and stay safe.